Guten Rosh Chodesh, guten Winter, whatever else they say at this point in the year. But Baruch Hashem, today we have a very special privilege. We're starting a new Masechta, a new Perek, a new Limud, which is something we haven't done in a while. I think we had 81 Shiurim on Rav Loz Demila. It was extremely fascinating. I think we learned a lot, we grew a lot, we gained a lot. But our new Limud today is extremely, extremely different than we're going to be doing for the... than we did in the past. We're going to be doing in Mitzvah Shem the third parak of Ksubis, and the third parak of Ksubis is really, really what we call today the major leagues. You know, not that Rebbe Loz Demila is not, the third parak of Eilon Iris is very, very, very heavy duty. This is like the real deal over here. We're going to be serious, serious lumdus going forward in Mitzvah Shem. Can't hear. Okay, that's why you can't hear me.
Israel?
Okay, how are we doing now? Are we better now, everyone?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Good morning, everyone. Take two. I apologize. My tech team.
In the afternoon here.
Oh, Mr. Freeman, how are you? It's great to see you.
Hello, Israel. Oh, God.
It's great. Yes. Great to see you, Mr. Freeman. How are you? Oh, a real pleasure. Okay, Rabbi, as I was saying before...
By the way, Rabbi, yes. The email worked. We got Israel and Tinek on the line.
Unbelievable. Again, I apologize this morning. My tech team is not available. My daughter is sleeping, and my son, Baruch Hashem, is on his way to yeshiva. So I'm on my own today, so hopefully we'll figure it all out together. But before we get into the parasha, just a couple hours, I just want to acknowledge that, Baruch Hashem, we're starting a new Masechta. We're starting a new year together. This is our seventh year or eighth year, Michael, learning together. Do you remember?
We started October 2013, so you do the math.
Okay. So Baruch Hashem, we've been spending quite some years together learning. I know it's hard to show it in Gemaras and Masechtas, because we only learned parts of Kiddushin and parts of Gittin and parts of Shabbos, and now we're going to be learning parts of Ksubis. But Baruch Hashem, it's a big schus that we're able to get together on a Sunday morning and to learn Torah in its depth. The way we many of us were privileged to learn in yeshivas, but it's really something very unique and something very special, the in-depth learning. For those of you, I'm a little behind in the Jewish magazines because I get them after my in-laws read them. So I get them recycled. So I was reading yesterday what I think was a very interesting article about Tzvika Reisman, where he discusses some interesting things that I found that were very, very important. One thing he mentions, which I think is important that I do also, is that he thinks it's important for fathers to learn sometimes at home also. He says, you know, very often, you know, parents go off to learn and the kids don't always know that. You know, you might be going to a shiur, but the kids don't realize that. So he was a big believer of learning at home so the kids could see. But he also writes that he's a very big believer that we need to continue learning, in-depth learning. Even, you know, even when we're outside the walls of yeshiva, we're no longer part of yeshiva, and we're in the working world, we still have to find time in the day to have in-depth learning. And Baruch Hashem, we have a great, great opportunity here every Sunday morning to have some real, real in-depth learning. Now again, this perek, I'm putting just a disclaimer, this perek is a little different than Rebbe Loz Demila. It is much, much more hardcore in the lumdus. There's basically very little if no halacha lamaisa. That was what we did in our Blas Demila a little bit both. But today, when we switch over in Mitzvah Shem, it's going to be some very, very hardcore major league lumdus. For those of you that were lucky enough to learn this parak in yeshiva, you probably know what I'm talking about. For those of you that did not have the privilege of learning it, we'll learn Mitzvah Shem, learn it together here. It's really a fantastic parak, loaded up with many, many sugyas and shas, a lot of concepts and lumdus. It should keep us quite busy in Mitzvah Shem for many weeks. For many, many months to come,
maybe we'll have the discourse of have Stewie Wagner let us start doing this back in shul, socially distanced and with masks, just like we daven in shul. There's no reason we shouldn't learn in shul, have daf yomi in shul. We should have learning in shul.
Yeah, I
those who are uncomfortable can have it on Zoom. You can do both, but we'll wait for Stewie to give us permission.
I happen to agree with that. In my shul, that's what we do. We have shurim in person with masks and social distancing. That's the way we do it in my shul. I think I agree with that notion as well. But again, being that we're housed in the Young Israel Women, I don't want to get thrown out from our landlord. So you got to be careful. Got to be careful what I say.
Can't get in. What are you throwing out?
Okay, everybody, say just about a little bit on the parasha, then we'll
sponsor this security.
Think about that, Jake. You know,
we'll We'll get into the parasha a little bit, and then we'll let you guys fight it out after this year is over. Just a little bit on the parasha. Again, we had an entire parasha share this week. If you didn't hear it, it's up on the website. But just one thing that came to mind that I spoke about in my shul over Shabbos is the idea of the Balaturim. The Balaturim tells us the words Bereishis Bara Elokim, or the Rashi Tevis, Emes. That the Torah is built and Judaism is built on the premise of Emes. We as Jews have to be honest people. We have no right, we have no permission to do anything which is not honest, anything which is not just and correct. But the question is asked, why is it the Soifei Tevis? Why is it Emes at the end of the letters? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu come up with a way to make Emes at the beginning of the word? So I was thinking perhaps the idea is that very often in life we live with this, with a mentality that the ends justify the means. That, you know, if we have a purpose of doing things for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, for the benefit of what we think Hashem wants, so then we can fudge around with the Emes. We can do things that are questionable. Now, a person wants to raise money for an institution, so he'll raise the money in perhaps a non-kosher way, but it's okay because, you know, I'm doing it for the Meisen, I'm doing it for an organization, I'm doing it for a yeshiva, I'm doing it for a kail. The answer is no. Emes has to be Emes from the beginning until the end. Everything that we do in life, even if it's l'tzarech toiva, even if we're doing it for good reasons, we're doing it to help, what we think to help Klal Yisrael, it must and always needs to come from a place of Emes. In Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's biography, there's an entire chapter devoted to all of the honesty of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He lived his name, Titen Emes Liakov. He mamash lived a life of unbelievable honesty. And there's a couple of stories that stick out. Many of them I've said before. But one story I find fascinating, especially for all our accountants, you can appreciate this. Rabbi Yaakov once got a gift from one of his shiurim, a becher. And he went to the silver store to find out how much the becher was worth. Because he wanted to pay taxes on it. Since he got it as a gift, he wanted to pay taxes on that. Now, obviously, for those, I know very little about accounting, but I know there's a whole discussion about whether or not that's really taxable. Is that considered payment? Is that considered a gift? But Rabbi Yaakov didn't want to hear any of it. According to Rabbi Yaakov, it's money. You definitely have to pay taxes on it. He wanted to find out how much money it is so he can pay taxes. Other stories that they bring down in that sefer about Rabbi Yaakov in his book, that when Rabbi Yaakov came to Toronto, when he came to America his first time, he didn't want to take any money with him from Canada because it's illegal to take money out of the country. So he didn't even have money to pay for the trains. And someone told him, that's not what they mean when they say you're not allowed to take money out of the country. They mean you're not allowed to take large sums of money. Rabbi Yaakov said, how do you know what the rules are? The rules say you can't take money out. He wouldn't take a dime out of the country because it was illegal. And perhaps the most famous story that I've said many times here about honesty, and I think it's so amazing, is the story with Rabbi Yaakov and the Satmar Rebbe. Rabbi Yaakov and the Satmar Rebbe once met in Williamsburg shortly after the Holocaust, and they were discussing what merit they each deserved to be saved from the Holocaust. So the Satmar Rebbe said he deserved to be saved from the Holocaust because he never slept in a bed during the week. And when Rabbi Yaakov was pressed to why he was saved in the Holocaust, his answer was, because I never told the Dover Sheker in my entire life. Now, who of us can get up and say, I've never told a Dover Sheker in my entire life? That's Emes. The Torah is built on Emes. We live in a society where Emes is totally thrown out the window. We don't even know what Emes is anymore. It used to be that Emes meant something. There used to be certain things where just, this is the truth. In the political world we're living today, Emes doesn't even mean Emes. You can have a phrase like, you know, packing the bench, and it changed from what it used to mean to what now it means, because someone decided it means something else. It's scary. We live in a society where things which used to mean one thing and now all of a sudden there's two pshat and what it means. Emes has to be the ultimate truth is the way we live as Yidden. We live as Yidden and Emes. We know what's Emes, we know what's right. Doesn't mean it's always easy to do. But as Yidden, we live a lifestyle of honesty, we live a lifestyle of Emes. There's no room at all for Sheker. And that's the beginning of the Torah. The beginning of Bereishis is us as Jews realizing we need to live a lifestyle of ultimate Emes. I didn't have a chance to get to this in the parasha shir, but two very nice vaitloch that I think are important for our lives. Rav Pam makes this observation that Chava, you can imagine Adam Arishan after the sin of the Eitz Hadas was a little upset at Chava. At the end of the day, she did kind of destroy his world. Yet we find that when Adam calls Chava a name, he gives her such a glowing title. Chava, ki aim kol chai, she's the mother of all living creatures. So Rav Pam points out that Adam Arishan was teaching us, yes, of course Chava sinned, and yes, Adam was probably not very happy with Chava, but he didn't live and carry this grudge forever. He didn't live with this, oh my gosh, Chava ruined my life, that's it, she's a horrible person, I can never talk to her again, and I can never find any good in her. Fakir, he found the good in her, he gave her a beautiful title right after the fact. To show sometimes we have to live and let live. We have to forgive and forget, especially those like our spouses. We can't be so hung up on a certain thing or an issue or a problem, or even if it's justified and even if it's, you know, true that they did this thing wrong to us, we need to be able to see past it and we need to be able to move on. A very, very important lesson, Rapam points out, from Adam and Chava. Today was I was notified today in Shul that today is the Yahrzeit of the Blujiver Rebbe. I'm not a very big chassid of the Blujiver Rebbe, but there's a famous story with the Blujiver Rebbe that's worth mentioning also as a chos for his neshama. The Blujiver Rebbe was lighting the nearest Hanukkah in one of the camps during the Holocaust, and he makes the first bracha and he gets up to the second bracha, and he's trying to figure out, and he gets to the third bracha and he stops, and then he makes the bracha shachiyana v'kimana v'yana l'zaman hazeh. So everyone asked him, Rebbe, what was the pause? So he said, I'm not sure if I can make the bracha shachiyana v'kimana v'yana l'zaman. Look where we are, we're in a concentration camp. How can I say the word shachiyana v'kimana v'yana l'zaman hazeh? But the Rebbe said, when I looked around, I saw how many yidden came together to watch the menorah being lit in a concentration camp. I said, now I can make the bracha. Now I feel that Kal Yisrael is at a madrega. That amidst all the difficulties and all the tough times, we come together to light the menorah. Then I could talk and make the bracha of Shechiyana v'kimana v'yigyanu l'azman. It's a very important story from the Blujiver Rebbe on his yard site, which is today. Okay, right, so we're starting a new limud. We're starting a perek of Elanai. But before we start every perek, at least in this shurim, we always have somewhat of an introduction, a hakdama, to a little bit about what's going to go on. So in this perek, we're going to be discussing two major topics, and the two topics are oynis u'mefateh. And if your wives ask you, what did you learn today? You tell, I learned about rape, and I learned about seduction. Okay? That's what you learned today. That's the sugya of oynis u'mefateh, strictly speaking. So we know in the Chumash that there's two parashas in the Torah, one of an oynis and one of a mefateh. An oynis is a man who forces himself on a woman, what we call today rape. So the halacha is he has to pay a fine of 50 zuz. Then there's another parasha called mefateh. They often get lumped together, oynis and mefateh, one lump sum, but they're not exactly the same. Then there's a parasha of mefateh. Mefateh is to be seduced. That's what the word means, mefateh. So the Torah then has a different set of rules. There the Torah says if you mefateh a girl, then it depends. If she and her father want, so you marry her. And now she's your wife forever. If they don't want a marriage, then you also have to give the 50 zuz, you have to give the 50 slaim, like you do by a ma'anis. So that's the backdrop that we're going to be discussing heavily in our parak. So let's start off with a pasuk in the Torah, parashas mishpatim. If a man will be mefateh, he will seduce a besula. Again, this whole concept of mefateh is only if she's a besula. Because part of what you're paying for is you took away her besula. However, if she was already a besula, she's not a besula, you don't have to pay as much. She's not married. You lived with her. Hurry up, you should go marry her. You should do kiddushin to her. If the father does not want to give her to you, if the father sees that the man who seduced the daughter is a low life, he doesn't know how to learn, he's not a big talmud chacham, he doesn't make a lot of money, so then kesef yishkol kemar abasulus, then you give her money. So this is the parasha of mefateh in the Torah. The Torah describes it. But what we need to discuss today, although it may sound funny, but it's actually a very fundamental machlokes b'shanim, what does the word yefateh mean? So again, in our scroll, it probably translates to seduce, ki yefateh. Rashi quotes the number two, v'chi yefateh, medaber al liba, you spoke on her heart, until she listens to you. That word is an Aramaic version of pita, which means you have to convince her. You have to convince her. You're not that good looking in the first place. So convince this girl to live with you. You have to tell her all these wonderful things. You convinced
convince her of what? Convince her of what?
Convince her to want to be with you. Again.
To want to marry you?
No, this is not marriage. This is just a sexual encounter. No marriage over here. But you had to convince her. You were mafat to her. She didn't just jump on you. You had to work on her. You had to be medaber aliba acha shemaslo. Right? You know, you're not that great looking that she just looked at you and said, you're right, you know, I'm just going to give in to you. You had to be mafat to her. You had to appease her. You had to tell her how much money you make. You had to tell her, you know, how fantastic you are. You had to show her your bank account. Whatever it was, you medaber, Rashi points this out, medaber aliba acha shemaslo. You had to mamish speak to her heart until she listened to you.
They had relations?
They had relations, yes.
Okay.
Now, the question over here is, it's a machlokes rishonim, do you really need that much level, or what happens if, you know, you just go over to her and you say, yeah, me, you, now, let's go, and everyone's on board? Is that also mefateh, or mefateh is only if you're medaber aliboy ashe shemas loy? So if you look in the Torah, in Evan Ezes and Kuf Ayin Zayin, the Torah writes the following. HaMefateh oy me'anes besula as Yisrael. If a person is mefateh, he seduces, or he rapes a besula from Klal Yisrael, koin sinoyse chamishim sloim kesef. He gets fined, a penalty, 50 sloim. Bein im hi bas gadol sheb Yisrael, oy bas katan sheb Yisrael, no matter of her age, which we'll talk more about in this perek, says the Torah, ve'eza hu mefateh. What is mefateh ve'ezu me'anes? Mefata l'ritzoinoi u'ma'anish shaloi l'ritzoino. So the simple reading of the Torah sounds like there's no convincing, as long as it's consensual. That's all you need. You don't have to be medaber al diba. You don't have to convince her. You don't have to tell her how fantastic you are. The difference between mefata and ma'anis is just one was forced and one was not forced. So l'chayra, it seems like the Torah possibly might argue on Rashi. Rashi seems like you have to be medaber al diba asheshem asla. You got to really sell it. You got to talk to her hard until she finally agrees. That's what it means to seduce. You have to mamish convince her. Because again, why is this guy paying money? Since when do you have to pay money if two adults have a consensual relationship? Now we'll see, she's not such an adult, she's a 12-year-old girl, but nonetheless, if it's consensual, it's consensual. The answer is because you have to...
Based on the Torah, it's dependent on her. Based on Rashi, it's dependent on his actions.
Correct.
Based on the Torah, it's her actions.
Well, again, it's her actions that came from him.
She does it willingly, she does it unwillingly.
Right, so according to the Torah, we don't care what drasha he gave her to convince her to join him. According to the Torah, as long as he didn't force himself on her, as long as she was willing, he's a mefata. While according to Rashi, it sounds like in order to be a mefata, it's not just enough that she wants it and you want it. You have to kind of start selling it to her. You got to start being medaber aliba. You have to try to convince her why she should live with you, which is, I mean, we understand the Rashi version much better. We understand according to Rashi that you kind of have to sell it. When you have to sell something, sometimes you may be, you're a little bit, not overselling it, but sometimes you're giving the customer, the consumer, perhaps, you know, more than is out there. So they kind of got duped in. She's a 12-year-old girl. You told her you're fantastic, you're amazing. So, no, she agreed. So that's why we penalize you. But according to Rashi, according to the Torah, as long as she agreed, no convincing needed, that would also be a mefata. And the Bach makes this deal. If you look at number four, the Bach writes...
It's not necessarily a machlokes. The Torah would also say, after he convinced her, it's Avada,
100%. But the Torah would tell you, I don't care how you got to that point of Ratzon. As long as she agrees, I don't care what you have to do. While according to Rashi, it sounds like there's some emphasis on this medaber aliba acha shemasla. It sounds like there's some hakpada that's not enough that she wants it and you want it. You have to have some form of convincing prior to that. And the Torah might say, the Rashi might say, if you didn't have to convince her, if she was already on board, so that's not mefata. That's consensual. So there's a very thin line between mefata and consensual. Says the Bach number four, Kein Kasev Rambam Reish Perek Aleph Melechus Naira B'sula. This is very important for us to remember that the Rambam writes exactly like the Torah. That the difference between mefata and oinus is mefata means consensual and ma'anus was forced. The Nira is up to Bach. The Bala Hayrois, the Torah was come to teach us something. The mefata the Kasev Kra Lav Davka the Shidla B'dvarav. Says the Torah, you don't need Shidla B'dvarav. You don't need Medaber Aliba. You don't have to convince her. As long as she agreed, consensual, that's already mefuta. Now again, these types of questions are very heavily debated in the secular world today. And very often there's questions of what's considered rape and what's considered consensual. I initially consented, then I took back my consent again. These are things that the Gaisha world deals with heavily. But the Bach is pointing out that the purpose of the Torah was lafuke Rashi. He doesn't quote Rashi, but it's lafuke what we're seeing from Rashi. That it's not about being medaber aliba and trying to convince her and trying to seduce her. It's long as it's consensual.
Is consensual, does she have any class?
No. We'll see in a second, they might be over a lav, but the knas of mefata only exists when you violate this pasuk of yifate. The question is, what does it mean to be a mefata? So Rashi seems like he's learning mefata, you mamash have to sit there convincing her. You got to tell her stories, and you got to, you know, pull out her heartstrings. The Torah says, no, as long as she agreed, and you lived with this girl, that's considered consensual, now already you're in a violation of mefata. Says the Torah, elok tavoa vihinis ratzis. That's it. I asked her. I said, you want to live with me? She said, sure, no problem. I didn't have to sell it. She was on board in the first place. So if it seems to be a machoikish rishonim, what does it take to be a mefata? In order to violate the issur of mefata, which carries along with it a $50 or a 50 shloim penalty, is it that you have to mamasid convincing her? You have to start telling her stories and maislach of why she should want to live with you? Or as long as she's not screaming and yelling, it's not considered rape, that's already considered mefata. Now, l'chayra, one could bring an interesting raya to this shayla. So right now we're going to call it a machloekes rishonim between Rashi and the Torah. One can bring an interesting raya to this shayla. Meaning, according to Rashi, it would come out that if a guy goes over to a girl and says, do you want to live with me? And the girl says, yes. And he didn't do any convincing. According to Rashi, that's not mefata. That's not the parasha of mefata. That's not the violation of mefata. Now, l'chayra, one could bring a raya from a gemara later on. There's a gemara later on, number five.
What violation is there, though?
So there might be a violation called loisia kedesha, that two single people can't go around having relations with each other if they're not married. That we'll talk about in a few minutes. We'll talk a little bit about that question today also. But again, the mefata iser, which carries a penalty, according to Rashi, one would not violate if she's willing on her own without any convincing necessary. According to the Rashi, you only violate that if there's convincing done. While according to the Torah, even without convincing, as long as it's consensual, it's going to be an iser. Now, there's a gemara later on, daf lamed aleph from Advais. So the perek starts on chavtes lamed aleph. It's on lamed aleph from Advais. So I let you figure out when we'll get up to lamed aleph from Advais. If you ever looked at Ksubas, the third perek, blata big. Is massive taisvism. So Mir Tashem, we'll get to Laman Alma from the Bays when we get there. But whenever we get there, Mir Tashem, we'll get there. And Mir Tashem, we should all be healthy, we should still be learning together, and we should all be seeing Nachas when we get to Laman Alma from the Bays. In person. I like that. Okay, so the Gemara says like this in Ksubis. The Gemara is a Kasha. Our Mishnah has a whole list of people that you have Knas for. Let's say someone lives with his sister, someone lives with his aunt, all of these people. So the Gemara has a kash uriminu. In fact, the Gemara's tira. It says in Maseches Makis, Eilu en aloikin. Who are the people that you live with that you get malchus for? Abal achoisa. Person lives with his sister, he gets malchus. Val achoisaviv with his aunt. Val chasima with his aunt from his mother's side. Val achoisishta with his wife's sister-in-law. Val eishes achiv with his brother's wife. Val eishes achiaviv. Val anida. Fine. V'kaim belonde en loikum mishalim. In fact, the Gemara, 1 second. Our Mishnah said all those above women. If you're ma'anis or mefata them, there's going to be payment. The Mishnah says in Malkus, for all living with all these women, you get Malkus. And we have a rule, ein eloikim misham, you can't get both. So how is it? How is it possible that I could pay knas if I live with my aunt, if I'm ma'anis or mefata my aunt, or my sister-in-law, if I'm ma'anis or mefata, that means I lived with them, if I live with them, I get Malkus, I don't have to pay. That's the Gemara's kash. So the Gemara gives a different answer. So the Chayr, why couldn't the Gemara give a very simple answer? There's two types of mefata. There's one type, the real mefata, where you make a payment, that's when you were medaber aliba. When you sat there and you started convincing your aunt why she should live with you, that's medaber aliba. That type of mefata, that taka has the punishment of payment. The other type is when you didn't mefata anything. There was no convincing. She was willing and you were willing. If you're willing to accept the notion that we're developing in the Rishonim, that it's possible to have mefata, and it's possible not every case is mefata, according to Rashi, according to the Torah, every mefata is the same. Consensual relations is mefata, so it's very hard to draw a distinction. But according to Rashi, we can make a chiluk. We could say one was talking about whether it was medaber aliba. One was talking about what I had to convince my aunt, and I had to convince my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, all these women. I had to convince them to live with me. So when I convinced them to live with me, that's already mefata. The other case was straight up consensual. Straight up consensual is not mefata. Why didn't the Gemara open that possibility? So there are those who want to bring a raya from the Gemara that it's not true. There's no such chiluk. Mefata is mefata. Consensual is consensual. It doesn't matter what the pre story is. Whether you have to convince them, you don't have to convince them. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is as long as it's consensual. That seems to be what we're seeing.
That's such a great raya. You said Quinta Rashi doesn't meet the criteria of mefata. So why would the Gemara have to mention a chiluk in the case it doesn't exist? That's not mefata. So that's why.
No, but you're trying to be masbir the Mishnah, right? When the Mishnah says Eilu en aloikin.
Every consensual act, the Gemara has to bring a distinction that this.
Well, again, if we're trying to be miyashiv, you know, astira, so why could the Gemara just give this simple answer like that? Right? If the Gemara held it, there's a chiluk.
It's not mafata. It's just not a case of mafata. So why does Gemara even have to entertain that?
No, because we have this Mishnah Malkus, right? The Mishnah Malkus is telling us that if you live with all these women, you have Malkus and you don't pay. The answer is because that Mishnah... No, it's very good. That Mishnah is talking about when it's not real Mefata. No. Our Mishnah is when it's real Mefata. I mean, that Mishnah in Makis that says, Abo ala choysoi, that you get Malkus, right? Because that's talking about a case when you're not going to pay. You're not paying because that's not real Mefata. Our Mishnah is real Mefata. That's what the Gemara could have answered. But the Gemara doesn't answer. Okay, so that's debatable whether or not there's a Raya from this Gemara. Now, there's a very famous machloikis Rambam and Ravid. And a part of me wanted to spend a lot of time on this machloikis Rambam and Ravid. But a part of me said, no, we got to get moving into this parak. There's so much to learn. Maybe we'll come across it again. What's the famous machloikis Rambam and Ravid? And it happens to be funny because, I met someone on last week who's hacking me a chaynik about this idea, this machloikis Rishonim. The Rambam writes the following, number 6, parak, Hilchas Ishas parak, Zok the Rambam. Koyde matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, how you odom poga ish v'shuk, a guy met a girl on the street. Im rotzahu v'hi, if she was willing, and he and she was willing. Nasan l'schara, he'd give her money. He'd live with her. Two consenting parties. Everyone's okay with that. Before Matan Torah, there's not such a thing called marriage. So as long as it's consensual, everything is good. V'zu ha-nikras kadesha. And that's what the Torah calls a kadesha. That's kadesha. Kadesha is two consenting adults agreeing to have relations with each other. Mishenosna ha-Torah. Once the Torah was given, esra ha-kadesha. This act of kadesha became asr. Shenema, it says in the Torah, lo siye kadesha. Do not be a kadesha. Don't be a harlot. Don't be a zayin. Lo siye kadesha be-benois Yisrael. Sorry?
Why does he have to give her money?
Again, sometimes you need to convince her.
They both want.
Voila?
They both want.
Why
does he have to give her money?
I don't know if he has to, but he maybe that was just the normal way it was done. Zakti Rambam, that's loisi ekadesha. Leficha, kol aboyel isha l'shem znus. Let's say a guy and a girl live together. Now again, putting aside nida, right? She's not a nida. She went to the mikvah. She took off all the nida. Two single adults, right? Zakti Rambam kol aboyel isha l'shem znus. If a person lives with a woman under the banner of znus beloy kedushin, there's no transfer of money. Loikim in atayra, he violates a law in the Torah lefisha ba'al kedusha. So the Rambam sheet is very clear. Any relationship between two adults that is not under the banner of marriage is a law in the Torah of loisi ekedush. That's the Rambam Shita. Comes along the Ravid, famous Ravid. The Ravid says, no. Because of a Ravid, ain't Kadesha ela mizumenes viha mufkeres l'chol adam. So the Ravid, that's not the definition of Kadesha. Kadesha means a girl who's open to everyone. She doesn't have one specific boyfriend. She goes to many men. Avlam yachedis atzmalish echod. But if a girl has an intimate relationship with one man, she has a boyfriend. Zokti Ravid v'lo loy malkis v'loy iser. Zokti Ravid, it's mamish not aser. There's no malkis, there's no iser. V'ya pelegesh aksuva b'pasuk. That's a pelegesh. Zokti Ravid, that's what a pelegesh is. A pelegesh is a woman that you have no intention of marrying, and all you guys, it's a relationship of just you two, not marriage based, and you live together. That's a pelegesh. What does the word pilegish mean? Zok deraivit. It's a combined word. She's there sometimes to clean, and she's there sometimes to have relations. Okay? So Zok deraivit, he disagrees with the Rambam. The Ravid thinks that Pilegish is 100% mutter, and we'll see Blineda on the next page, a fascinating letter written from the Rabbeinu Yoin and the Ramban about this Shaila Pilegish. So this was this guy I was talking to Chinik about. Now he wants to bring Pilegish back. Okay. Try bring that, you know. Every once in a while there's always some Nundik in the world who decides he wants to bring back the concept of Pilegish, being Semich on the Ravid sheet and not the Rambam sheet. Okay, I'm not going to get into it from a halachic standpoint. Maybe one day we'll have a shirna just for the fun of it, but that's the Ravid sheet. The Ravid holds that a Pilegish is 100% mutter. That's not the law of loisi ekadesha. Loisi ekadesha means a girl's she's a wild girl. She's mufka lakoil. She lives with many men. If a person has an intimate relationship, that's not considered the violation of loisi ekadesha. Now, if you look at the Magid Mishnah, he has a part of the Ravid which we don't have. Where the Ravid tainas, I have a beautiful raya against the Rambam. Again, the Rambam holds any time two adults have consensual relationship, that's the law of loisi ekadesha. Says the Ravid, it can't be. Says the Ravid, how do I know it can't be? So the Ravid, in the Magid Mishnah quotes it. Says he says she'im kidvar, the third line in the bottom of the Magid Mishnah. She'im kidvar of Zokti Ravid. If the Rambam was right, then anytime two consenting adults live together, that's considered loisi desha. Mefoteich m'sham aleh mamoin. In fact, the Magid Mishnah, how are you ever going to have a parsha of mefate? V'halei loike. In fact, the Ravid of the Valtik Kasha and the Rambam, how are you going to have a parsha of mefate? If any time two consenting adults live together, that's already the law of loisi ekadesha. So we have the rule ein mishalom bein aloike. You'll never have the payment of mefata. So how is it ever shayach to have the payment? Elavade mishatzrichu lepitoi ein ekadesha. Once you need a convincer, that's not kadesha. So what does it sound like from this ravid? Mishatzrichu lepitoi. There's a different madrega. meaning lo siya kadeisha, according to the Rav, it is a girl just, you know, a girl has a relationship with a boy, their boyfriend and girlfriend. So that's not lo siya kadeisha. What's pito is up the Rav? That's starting to convince her. You start telling her stories, how fantastic and amazing you are. That's mefata. So the lechem, you could bring a Rav from this Rav, that the Rav holds that you need a deeper level of pitoy to be under the banner of mefata. It's interesting, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, he's also interesting. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, V'chi yifate ish besulo, v'inyan ha-pitoy, what's pitoy? Sh'oma lo dvorim shel sheker oy shel emes. You tell things which are false and true. Right? You tell her that you make a six-figure salary. You tell her you have a house in Florida. Right? And you tell some emes also. Ache misratze elov. So once again, it wasn't sounding like from the Sefer HaChinuch. It's not stam consensual. There's a convincing process that's needed over here. So Vaitel plays back to our machloikis with Shainim over here to how much consensual versus convincing in order to be considered the violation of mefata. Rib Shach in the Sefer Avi Ezri, I apologize, it's very hard to read it. That's because in the my Oitzer HaChochma has Avi Ezri only for searching purposes, not for printing purposes. But I figured out a way to print it, but it's very hard to read. But Rib Shach wants to be Yashiv the Ravitz Kash on the Rambam. Again, the Ravid Tainas on the Rambam, according to you, the Rambam, how do you ever have a parasha of Mefate? When's it ever Mefate? Every single time two consenting adults live together, and out of the banner of marriage, that's Loisi Ekadeshan. So when do you ever have a parasha of Mefate? So Zok Yabshach, very Gishmak. Said Yabshach, Mamas, like what we're saying. Right? So Yabshach, Vashay Yir and Yivadasa Rambam, Masik, Lefisha Baal Kadesha, Mash Mashirak, Baal Kadesha, Ova Balav, Veloy Bechol Biasnus. Says Yabshach, 1 second. The Rambam writes, that if you're bald isha l'shem znos, then that's the violation of kedesha. Now, does that mean every single time two people live together, they're over the alav of loisiyah kedesha? Says the Rambam, says the Reb Shach, no. He says, I'll bring you a raya. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Shmoin alav in shechayiv nolel malkis, kosav abal akedesha, v'loi kosav abal apnuya. The Rambam doesn't write if you're ba'al apnuya, you automatically love the loisiyah kedesha. There's something special, Zok the Reb Shach. There's something special about being baal in a situation of kedesha that gives you the love of loisiyah kedesha. Not every single girl is going to be that love. Zok the Reb Shach elo bezeh nikra kedesha. So the Ravid holds the difference is how many people you live with. If you live with one person versus living with many people. Zok the Reb Shach, the Rambam differently. Avla Rambam sovish shekol shahaya berit soinish shalai de pit divinus. Says Reb Shach, you know what Reb Shach, the Rambam is very poshut. The Rambam holds, Mefate is like the Sefer HaChinuch. Mefate is when you start convincing her. Kedesha is without convincing. Two young boys and girls, they both like each other. She wants to live with him, he wants to live with her. He doesn't tell her any stories about he's coming to medical school and he's going to become a big hotshot doctor. That's the love of Loisiya Kedesha, Zok the Rambam. But Zok Reb Shach, so when is there ever Mefate? Mefate is only when you have to start convincing her. When you have to start telling her stories. You have to start being Mesim Liboy, Mesim Dvar Ma Liboy, says Reb Shach. So therefore, says Reb Shach, beautiful. The Rambam is very Gishmak. Not every single time will a man live with a single girl, will it be over? The answer, it depends. If it was consensual, with no convincing needed, that's the love of Loisiyah Kedesha. But Zok Reb Shach, but if you had to start convincing her and telling her stories and trying to twist her arm, not figuratively, not physically, that would be the love of Mefate. That's what Reb Shach wants to answer for the Rambam. Now, it's such a nice
to go to. Is it possible that Isser Losia Kadesha and the Knas don't come at the same time? Could one be Chilas Maisa, or be the end of the Maisa?
Maybe. We'll have to see when all this. Maybe when we get into the Gemara, we might see. The assumption is it all happens at the same time. Maybe. Now, what's wrong with Reb Shach's Shtikl Torah? It's such a beautiful Shtikl Torah. What does Reb Shach want to say? Reb Shach wants to suggest in the Rambam that the Rambam holds like Rashi. That the Rambam holds that there's two types of Mefata. There's mefata, which is al-liba. That's real mefata. Then there's consensual mefata, which is loisiyah kedesha. So therefore, says Reb Shach, everything is beautiful. The Rav's kasha is not a kasha on the Rambam. According to the Rambam, if a guy goes over to a girl and says, you know what, the boy and the girl are talking, and she says, yeah, let's live together. He says, no problem. That's consensual without any convincing. That's loisiyah kedesha. That's not mefata. When's it mefata? Zok the Rambam, when you have to convince
her. That's not what the Rambam says, but the Rambam doesn't make any distinctions. He says it's a blanket statement. Oh, whenever you live with
it. Exactly. If you look at page number 2, on number 11, the Rambam says, Kemat Nefurish, not like that. Zok the Rambam, number 11, Misha Pitei Besula. Someone who entices a Besula, Koyin Tzvein Tzvein Mishkoch, Misha Mishlom Shal Kesef, Mizoykik Vuhanikra Knas. V'cheinim onas soisay so too if he rapes her. V'knaz de mitzvah seishal. Torah shem v'nosan isha sheikh v'imol lav yanar chamishim kesef. V'eizo hu mefate v'eizo oynes. Zok the Rambam, what pita what's oynes? Mefate lo tzoynay. Oynes shebaleh al bakarcha. The Rambam is mefurish. He doesn't say anything about mefate b'dvarim like the Sefer HaChinuch or like Rashi. He learns like the Torah. Like the Bach told us in the beginning. That the Rambam Shita is mefate is consensual. So Reb Shach's teres, l'cher, it doesn't work. Very, very hard to be miyashiv Reb Shach. How Reb Shach is going to read this Rambam is a tzorachi and godlo by me. Because l'cher, the Rambam is so clear that the Rambam and the Bach made this diuk. That the Rambam Shita is not like Rashi. The Rambam Shita is that all you need to be a mefate is consensual. So if all you need is consensual, you don't need to be medaber alibah, like Rashi says. So imkain, it's a big tzarachin, how exactly Reb Shach learned this Rambam. But again, Reb Shach's mahalach is very nice, because it brings us back to our machloikis rishonim, that we're suggesting that there's two types of mefate. One is real mefate, and one would not be a violation of mefate, but would be a violation of losia kadesh.
What did the Torah and the Bach hold about losia kadesh?
I don't know. I'm not sure where they weigh in how that's going to work. But the Bach writes this diuk in the Rambam, which really makes, again, it's not my diuk in the Rambam. The Bach makes this diuk in the Rambam, which would make it somewhat troubling how Reb Shach learned, how Reb Shach understood this Rambam. Just on a side note, Rabbi said, there's a very interesting letter over here from the Ramban to Rabbeinu Yoina. Now, Ramban and Rabbeinu Yoina were family. They were first cousins, and then they ended up becoming mechutanim later on in life. It's interesting, Rav Shechter says over that the Rambam was much older than Rabbeinu Yoina. I don't know why he was so much older. He was only 15 years older. And maybe that's called much older. I don't know. To me, 15 years is not so much older. But the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yoina were 15 years difference. The Ramban...
So second cousins married each other?
I mean, their kids married.
So
the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yoina's children married each other. That's the famous story. That the Ramban's son married Rabbeinu Yoina's daughter. And when she was pregnant with their child, the Rabbeinu Yoina died. And the minhag used to be amongst the Svardim was that the father of the baby got first rights to the name, and they usually named after the living. So they were going to probably name the baby after the Ramban. But the Ramban said, out of covet for Rabbeinu Yoina, I want you to name this baby after Rabbeinu Yoina. That's the way the story goes. Now it's interesting, Rabbeinu Yoina, initially in the beginning of his life, was also against the Rambam. He was against the Rambam's Moreh Nevuchim, but he made a complete change when he saw the burnings of the 24 cartloads of Svarim at that exact same spot where they burnt the Rambam's books. Rabbeinu Yoina then realized that this was all a mistake, and he spent the rest of his life trying to obtain tshuva for his negative outlook on the Rambam. He even tried to get to his kever. He was never zeicher to get there because along the way, at every town he stopped, and people kept on stopping him to say shurim and to be like, you know, a scholar and resident. He never got to ever get to the Rambam and ask him mechila. But he spent a good bulk of his life trying to obtain slicha v'kapara for what he spoke about ill of the Rambam. The Ramban was also a big proponent of the Rambam trying to defend the Rambam. But look at this letter. It's a fascinating letter. It's found in Tshuva Sarajba, but it's miyuchas la Ramban, which means it was authored by the Ramban. So he writes this. This is the response that the Ramban writes to Rabbeinu Yoina. It's interesting, again, Rabbeinu Yoina was older. He says, Isha loikim kodeshu arav achos Rabbeinu Yoina. Shalomeich v'sholom teroscha yigdal la'ad v'yisna l'netzach. Okay. Hegyuni mitzasech b'inyan ha-pilegesh. We looked into the topic of pilegesh. So he's like, Diacho badaiti al-das emes loy kenoise v'noisen. Lo yodati b'may istapkupo. Says the Ramban to Rabbeinu Yoina, I mamish don't understand what the suffix is about a pilagish. The vadai muteresi. It's 100% mutter. Kimishi yachtal atzmoi. You individualize it for yourself. Shloi nesri isha beznus li Yisrael. El me bedrosh ashar beliezer. Nimtza ach noise achoise v'ach v'av noise bita v'im kozanema mular zima. One of the chashashas was everyone's going to be, you know, living with different people. You can end up in a situation we don't know who's a sibling and who's a brother and who's a child. There's no contact. There's no basis of marriage. Ava kishenichnesa bebeisa v'him yuchedes. But if everyone knows who she is, it's not a flyby. You take her into your house and she lives in your house and she produces children and you know who those children are and it's documented. Zogt Ramban, umuteresh arei David nasa oisoi. David had a pilagish. V'loi huska b'kosov. V'loi b'gimara hefresh bein melech lehejit. And no one thought there was a difference between being a melech and a hejit. Umatzinu g'doi v'yisrael noisin oisoi shenema ve'ifa pilagish kolev yoldo. Okay, Raya is from Nach, that people used to have a pilagish. Okay. Upelegish begiva. What about the famous story of Upelegish begiva? Ilu hoisa sura lov lo yem akos of yokim bishu yelach achir. Because if yem avian ayra al chas to become a yabish business zoi. Elo shaya dovar motor ve noeg bi Yisrael. It was accepted. Hu ama ve ochaz bi pelagish ve anchosik ki osa zimama ve nevalo bi Yisrael. What was the only time of Upelegish begiva? Not that he had a Upelegish, but the horrific thing he did to the Upelegish. Having a Upelegish wasn't so terrible. But nevalo bi Yisrael mechlashu loy hoi osa loy zima ve loy nevalo. I frekt Rabbeinu Yoin, frekt Ramban. Shema toima min ha-toira hi muteris midvareim hu degazem. Maybe you'll tell me, maybe you're right. Midarai said we can all have a pilagish. Right? Okay. Your wife is really going to be thrilled to hear what today's shiva is about. Okay? So maybe midarai says that Rabbeinu can have a pilagish. But the Rabbanan asked it. For sure the Rabbanan had to have asked it. He writes, umidvareim hu degazem, v'chi be'ezem mokam huskru exerizu b'talmud. Says the Rabban, where's there a gemara that says you're not allowed to have a pilagish? Be'ezem bezden nimnu aleo, be'ezem man nishtis mishnezu. Where does it say it? It doesn't say it. It's not Osir. So the Ramban makes a very compelling argument that there should be no Isir of a Pilagish. Now again, until we get to the end of this Ramban, one would have thought that's Machlokes Rambam and Ravid. According to the Ravid, this is 100% right. If you have a woman that's only yours, she doesn't go to anyone else, she's Miyachedes Loi, that's Takamutter. While according to the Rambam, that would be the violation of Loi Siyeh Kadesha. That's what we would have thought. When we get to the end of this Ramban, we'll see, unbelievably, how the Ramban learns that even the Rambam agrees to him. Well, we'll see how he pulls that off. But the Ramban has a basic kasha, which I'm sure many of you are thinking. We all know the famous Gemara, that Kala b'loi bracha, asura l'bay l'kinida. We know that a girl, after Erisin, you need brachas, you need sheva brachas. Without the brachas, you still asat her. What do you mean? I thought I can just, I'm miyachid her. I clearly want to live with her, so why do I need sheva brachas? Why can't we just carry on living like a pilagish? So Zokti Ramban, no. Shema toime min ha-toire hi mut... I'm sorry, Zokti Ramban. U'masha omru kala b'loi brocha asu l'bay l'kanida. This famous memory chazal. That kala b'loi brocha asu l'bay l'kanida. Einoi el aloimar shekim shenichlis aluchub and ischayv levarich v'asa lehenes mena b'loi brocha. That just means if you decide to get married, if you want to enter into marriage, there's ways to entering into marriage. Marriage has a certain look, has a certain requirement, and you have to do X and Y to be married. But Zokta Ramban, that's only if you want to get married. But if you decide you don't want marriage, marriage is not for you, you'd rather just have a pilegesh, then avada, you don't need anything. Says the Ramban, u'b'inyin zeh hu sheni v'mkoyim mezechaz kalu. V'kach omru kol apoichas l'psulm v'asayim v'amona mona, harezug l'znus. V'kach omru v'mkala shal tanai, u'b'ol ein odom oisi bilos iznus. V'atam l'kulon, neshe kedush v'chubba mitzvah saseh. Because kedush and l'chubba is a mitzvah saseh. Interesting, we got to remember this from Ramban when we learn kedush. He calls kedush and a mitzvah saseh. If you want to get married to the point where this woman will have dinim that are negated to you, then you got to follow the procedures of marriage. If you want to have a matzav where this lady is going to be metamala and to be, you want to be made for her nedarim and you want to yarshin her, then you got to go through the system called marriage. Then if you don't follow that policy, that practice, then you get malchus. But if I don't want a wife, I don't want to use her as a tax deduction. I don't want to use her as a wife. I want to have a pilegesh. Zokta Ramban, then there's nothing wrong with it. All the gemaras that talk about that you need sheva brachas and you need nesuin, that's if you want to have a marriage. I don't want a marriage. I want a pilegesh. Zokta Ramban, if all you want is a pilegesh and you don't want anything more, which again, you won't have dinim in her. You won't yarsh in her. You won't become metameter if she dies, because she's not your wife. That's only for a wife. But the guy's not interested in a wife. He has another wife. He's just interested in having a pilegesh. Zog the Ramban, that would be 100% permissible. That's a very, very big chiddush from the Ramban. Then he writes, perhaps even the biggest chiddush. The gam divrei harambam einam la'asu pilegesh lehejet ulatiru lamelech. And even the Rambam never meant... Even the Rambam never meant that a pilegish is asur. Elokach oma, what did the Rambam mean? The Rambam meant v'chol aboyel ishul shem znus b'legdushin loike. B'nei shebo'al k'desha. Zokter Ramban, unbelievable. Let's go back to the Rambam. We thought the Rambam for sure would have asked a pilegish. What was the Rambam's lashon? Kol aboyel ishul. Anyone who lives with an ishul shem znus. Zogti Rambam, that's the law of Loik. That's the Loisiyah Kadesha. So how could the Rambam justify having a Pilegesh? Zogti Ramban, unbelievably, he writes, Neshe Baal Kadesha Nidus, Haynishe Pagah Ba'obola, V'lo yachdo la'atzma l'shum pilgushes da'inu kadesha. Zog the Ramban, the Rambam holds that the lav of loisi kadesha is a one-time thing. I meet a girl on the street, we have tashmish once, that's loisi kadesha. But if I want to be miyachir to be my long-term pilegesh, zog the Ramban, even the Rambam would agree that that's mutter. That's not loisi kadesha. V'lo yomah ha'ramam kol ha'boyol b'loi kedushin loike. The Rambam says it's kol ha'boyol b'loi kedushin. The Rambam never says Peleg is only okay for a king. Unbelievable Ramban. How the Ramban learned the Rambam, I don't think we would have learned the Rambam that way. The Rambam, again, let's go back to the Lashon the Rambam. The Rambam says, Nesrak Deja, Leficha Kol Aboil Isha L'Shem Znus B'Loi Kedushin. Zok the Ramban, you know what that means? L'shem zus b'loi kedushin means I don't want to have a relationship with her. L'shem zus means a one-time thing for no purpose besides for a one-time act of znus. But if the purpose is l'shem pilagshus, so she can be my long-term pilagesh, even the Rambam would agree that that is mutter. So zok the Ramban, a gevaldik echidish, that even the Rambam would hold that having a pilagesh, if done properly, would not be a violation. Again, there's much more to talk about this topic.
Do we paskin that way?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. There's much more to talk about this. And a part of me wanted to get into the sugya heavily, but I thought we should probably leave it off for maybe a different time. But again, it's just interesting. This machloekis was showing him. Punk the other day, some guy was hacking me a chaynik about bringing back pilakshim. He said, yeah, let's probably not do that. It's probably not good for any of us. But in any case, it is a very famous machloekis was showing him. Pashtus again. The simple answer would be it's machloekis rishonim, but the way the Ramban learns the Rambam, even the Rambam might agree that there are certain situations where pilegish might even be mutter. Okay, this was all in hakdama to the perek. Let's start the perek at least a little bit now. Zok the Mishnah, number 13. Eilu nairish yesh lem knas. These are the na'aros. Again, we'll see in the Gemara and even in Rashi that in order to get knas, you have to be in a very small frame of age. You have to be a na'ara. We'll see in a second what that is. But these are the nairis that have knas. Abo al amamzeris. If a man lives with a mamzeris. Va'al anasina. Or he lives with a nasina, which we'll talk much more about Belina the next week. Va'al akusis. He lives with a kusi. Here kusis doesn't mean a goy. It means a kusim, which we'll have to figure out if the kusim gere emes or kusi gere. Are you saying? Or...
Who's the knas? The husband or the...
No, the man. The man who lives with her. He gets penalized.
Only
when she's a nar. Now, Belina, the next week, we'll talk much more in Lumdis about who the money really goes to. Meaning, the halacha is that a naira, kol shvach nurel ovir. Any money that a naira makes, it goes straight to the father. So these $50 go to the father by rule of kol shvach nurel ovir. The shayla that we'll discuss Belina the next week, which might be machoik shushainim, is the pshat that this money is really X marked to the father. Not because kol shvach nurel avia, but the father is the one who lost out by his daughter being, so to say, taken. Or no, the money really goes to her. But since every money that she gets goes to him, at the end of the day, it ends up by the father. Meaning the shayla is...
She's not a nar. She's older than a nar. There's no knas?
No. It's only between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. Now, the shayla is, between that small period of time, well, it's machlokes tanoim, we'll see more about this in the Gemara, is the pshat that the money really belongs to her? Meaning, who did you really do an avla to? Did you do an avla to the girl, and therefore the money goes to her, but any money she gets goes to her father automatically? Or the avla was really to the father? Since this father had a wonderful girl, she was a psula, she would have done very well in the shidduch scene, and now she's not going to do so well in the shidduch scene, because some jerk decided to tell his daughter that he's so fantastic and so amazing, and she got swept up. So we'll see, that's Beli Nedra Machloikis Rishayin, and we'll talk about that not this week, but Beli Nedra next week. So it says the Mishnah, let's say a person lives with a giyairis, Vala shvuya, or a girl that was in captive, v'ala shivcha, or a girl that was a shivcha, sheniftu, that was redeemed, v'shenizgayru, and she became nizgayer, v'shenishtacharu, or she was freed, p'chusas mibnoi sholoshonim yayachar, under the age of 3. Why? Because if she's above the age of 3, we assume she already lost her besulim. If she already lost her besulim, what am I paying for? The assumption of what I'm paying for is I took this girl's besulim. I took her virginity. I took her that. But if she lost it because under captivity someone probably lived with her, then there's no reason why I have to pay. Well, again, Beli Nedra, we'll get into all of these things into the Gemara. Habo al achois, if a person lives with his sister, v'al achois aviv, he lives with his aunt, v'al achois ima, his aunt from his mother's side, v'al achois ishtoi, he lives with his brother's wife, v'al eishes achiv, I'm sorry, achois ishtoi is his wife's sister, his brother's wife, v'al eishes achi aviv, Valanida, let's say a person is mefata or ma'anis anida, yesh lohem knas. In all of the above situations, there will be the penalty. Af al pi shehem behikaris, even though all of these women that I just lived with, I get karis for. Guy lives with his sister, that's a chayv krisus. A guy lives with all these arayas. Still says the Mishnah, ein behem misa bezdin, but since there's none of these punishments carry a bezdin punishment, they all carry karis, therefore the punishments will be applicable. Now, I'm sure many of you are thinking, why did the Mishnah have to talk about such extreme cases? Why couldn't it just be, he lived with a regular girl who lives down the block? All of these people in the Mishnah have like a background. There's a story to them. Mamzeres and Asina. What happens with the nice girl who lives down the block? What happened to her? Why is she not mentioned? So we'll see. The Gemara is going to explain why the Mishnah chose all of these girls in the Mishnah. All seem to have something unique about them in their background. Let's see Rashi.
So Knas doesn't apply in the case of Kamle
and Ramadei. So that's what we're going to get into. So Kimle b'Rabbi Minei is usually when there's a bezdin punishment. When there's Chayvi Krisos, it's not so posh if you say Kimle b'Rabbi Minei. This Mishnah holds not. We'll see. It's a big machlokes. This is some of the major topics we're going to blined to get into in this parak. One of the hot topics in this parak is Kimle b'Rabbi Minei. We're going to talk about that until we're blue in the face with Kimle b'Rabbi Minei. Mitzvah Hashem. That's one of the major topics that we get to in this parak when we get to there, hopefully soon. So let's see Rashi. Zok Rashi, number 14. Zok Rashi. Elu Nairus. So at Rashi, Davka Naira, Mishahevi Shtei Cyrus. This is very specific, Zok Rashi. She's a Naira after she grew 2 hairs, Ache Tibager, until she switches over to the age of Boigeris. Vehem Shisha Chadoshim Shabay Nairus Labagris. The whole thing is 6 months. Amazing. The whole parasha is a 6 month window between 12 and 12 and a half. Avoktana U Boigeris, but if she's under 12. Or above 12 and a half, ein lahem knas, then there is no knas. We'll see in the Gemara why. I don't want to get into. I was also tempted to get into it now because it's a machlokes of kivega, very geshmaka stuff. But I'm working on self restraint. We'll get to it when we get into the Gemara. But Rashi is telling us very importantly that the whole parsha of knas is only between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, 6 months space. Now there are those who make the observation of Rashi. Rashi left out something that he should have told us. Now, Rashi talks about shtei sarah, but Rashi should have talked about also being 12 years old. Shtei Cyrus doesn't work unless you're also 12. So Shtikl Tzorachin, why Rashi didn't write that she's 12, and she has Shtei Cyrus. I guess Rashi figured, you know that. You know already that every Naira is a 12-year-old, and Bagaris is a 12-and-a-half-year-old. Okay, Shtikl Tzorachin, why Rashi didn't let us know that you also have to be of 12 years age. Again, you have to have 12 years, and Shtei Cyrus. So Rashi, here's the very interesting Rashi. Sheesh one knas, im onso odom. Someone is forces themselves. So what's the obvious kasha in this Rashi? Why did Rashi only talk about oinus? Didn't we learn also something called mefate? There's two types of payments. There's either if you're ma'anis the girl, then you also have to pay it. Or if you're mefate the girl, and they don't want to get married, then there's also a payment. Why does Rashi limit it to oinus and not include mefate? But Lined, we'll come back to that. We'll see the achrenim deal with that kasha. I just want to finish up Rashi. So Rashi, Abala Mamzeris, Big Mar Parich, Avok Shavis, Lloyd, the Gemara is going to ask, what happened to all the good kosher girls? Me and the Gemara is going to answer, there's no chiddish that if you're ma'anis or mefata, a nice, good, kosher girl. The chiddish is if you're ma'anis or mefata, a girl who's a psula. Nesina, what's a nesina, the Rashi? Mina givoinim. The times of the givoinim, the asura likahal. She is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. The David God's Raleim. David asserted this group. That's why they're called Nesinim. Okay, so we have to discuss, but then the next week, we'll see what's the issue with the Nesinim, what's their halachic status, what does this mean? Kusis, because the Mishnah held that they're considered Geri Arayis, they only converted because of the lines, they were afraid. Therefore, V'yeshna Malav D'loisis Chatimbom. They're included in the violation of Loisis Chatimbom. You're not allowed to marry them. Now, if you notice, Rashi did not say that about the Nesinim. When Rashi talks about the Givoinim, he doesn't say anything about they're included in Loisus Chatim Ba. So we'll have to talk about that also. So Rashi, Bala Shvuya, what does it mean, captive? Yisraelis Shenifte Pchusim Ibar Sholosh Shonim. If a Jewish girl, she's captive under the age of 3, the Becheskes Besulahi, we can assume she's still a Besulah. Why? Shafila Nivala Beshivya, because even if she would have got taken, they would have lived with her while she was being captive. Besuleha chayzrim. We know that under the age of 3, the besulim can return, whatever that means. So therefore, zok the Mishnah. So if I would be mefata, a girl who's now 12, but I remember when she was 2 years old, she was taken by a bunch of pirates and they held her captive for 6 months. So why am I chayiv? She's probably not a besula. The answer is no, because since she came out after, this all happened under the age of three, and above the age of three, the Basulim returned. Zok Rashi, Val Eishes Ochiv, what's the case of Eishes Ochiv? I lived with my brother's wife. Shenisgad Shaloy Lo Ochiv. She had Kedushin to my brother, the Girsha. Now they got divorced. Why does Rashi say this? Because if they're still married, so then she's an Eishes Ish. That's already punishable, not by Karis, that's punishable in Bezdin. So Rashi, they're divorced. She'emba misa ela karis. Next Rashi, Val Eishes Achiyoviv, the wife of the Achiyoviv, my uncle, Shenizgat Shalevi Girsha, the same story. Now, why does it have to be Shenizgat Shalevi Girsha? Why can't it be that my brother's wife was married to my brother, and then I was Ma'anis' wife? So what's
the question? She's presumably not a Basula.
Exactly, very good. So Tainit Seth 100% right, because if she had Nisuin, then presumably they lived together. If they lived together, she had no longer Basulim. So if she has no longer Basulim, there's no Einis Mefatah. However, if you look in the Eliyahu Rabba number, I think it says 16, he writes Kasha. He has a Kasha. Ha Yeshleimer Af Ben Nisuin. He wants to tell you that's not true. It's possible to live with a woman who was already Nisua and still have Einis Mefatah. Kigoin, Nivolo Shalei Kedarka. Kamashikas of Taisvis B'machzu Gushasa Mishinissus. He wants to find it very possible that maybe the first husband never really lived with her, abiyath in the Basulim. He lived with her Shalai Kedarka, so her Basulim are still intact. And therefore I went over and afterwards I was on Mifat to her. So he writes, Shuv en Yossi b'tur evan ezim kufayim vav shikos and this arsav niskar shemin anasuin. The Torah writes, if let's say a lady had erisin or divorced after nasuin, av api shehi Basula. She's still a Basula. Kigoyin shenichnas ol chob avlay nivala. Ein l'knas. See, he wants to tell you that if you look in the Torah is even more mefurish. The Torah writes, if you have a girl that had nisuin, but she never lived with her husband. They got divorced the night of the chasana. And then a day later, some guy comes and tries to convince her to live with him. Zok the Torah, she is not considered a mefata. So he wants to tell you, if it's there, kavanas Rashi. And that's what Rashi wanted. Meaning Rashi needed to make the case where there was only kedushin. Because if they would have crossed over into Nisuin, even if she never had a relation with a man, she never lived with her husband. Once she has Nisuin, she automatically be considered a Ba'ula. Therefore, Zok to Eliyahu Rabba, that's why Rashi had to make it always Niskansha, 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 because if Rashi would make it Nisus, it automatically would be no longer applicable. Is that Kavanas Rashi?
This is still a Naras, 12 to 12,
yeah. 6 months? All at 12. All happened when she's 12 years old. She gets married at 12 years old. She has Eris and Nisun at 12 years old. She never lives with her chassan. The next day, some guy convinces her to live with her. So Zok the Tor, no mefate. Why? Because she's a basula. She's a bula. She's not a bula. So the Beis Yosef explains that she has a din of a bula. Once a woman goes to Nisuin, she has a shame bula, even though she never lived with anyone. But he leaves off with a cash. He says, "V'tzarachin." She's like Kosev Ator. The Taisus Cholkim Gama Beis Yosef Lehiskas Shom Chelik Al Ator. He says, "Why does no one mention that it might be a machlokes b'shoinim?" Now the truth is, Rashi went this route because to go the other route would be so complicated. You have to write that they had Nisuin, but she never lived with their husband. It's much more wordy. The simple pshat is like Rashi told us. The simple pshat like Rashi is very simple. That we're talking about a case where she didn't have Nisuin. Okay. Let's finish off with the Pnei Yeshua from today. The Pnei Yeshua is bothered with the kasha. Why does Rashi learn that our mishnah is only Einus? Why can't I?
One thing, we're still in the time of the Gemara when they could do Kedushin with beer. What if they did Kedushin with beer?
And a Chanami. That wouldn't work then, right? And a Chanami. Then they'd be stuck. If they already did beer, then she already lost her Psulim, then this wouldn't be true. Yeah, and a Chanami. We're talking about when she did Kedushin.
They should mention if they did beer with Kedushin. Not Kedushin with Kedushin with Kedushin.
Right, as we learned, in the times of Rav, they already stopped doing Kedushin with beer. In the times of Rav, Rav Mangid HaMekadosh Bebiya, but before the times of Rav, they were still doing Kedushin Bebiya. Echanam, if you attack do Kedushin Bebiya, so then this wouldn't work. Now just, I want to wrap up with this Pnei Yeshua, because it really takes us into next week's Shir Mitz Hashem, that, what does it say in the Mishnah? Elu Nari Sheishlam Knas, and we mentioned there's two types of Knosses, there's Oynes and Mefatah. Rashi said it's Oynes. Why did Rashi pick Oynes, not Mefatah? So says the Pnei Yeshua like this, Ulechayru Ayinira, to Hochrich Rashi Lefarish the Ari Ba'Oynes. Rashi had to learn Einus. Why? Mishum giyoyris u'mishuchereres deloy shayich b'hu v'nosan l'avya naira. Because what happens if you have a girl who's a giyoyris? Right? She's a giyoyris. So we said that even a giyoyris has, again, if she's an iskaira under the age of, after 3 years old, so her basulim returned, and now you're ma'anaser. Zokte v'loy shaych muvinosan lavi anayro. Da'akorchach da'hoyesh l'knas hainol atzmon. This girl, she's not connected to her father anymore. So if there's going to be knas, who gets it? Her father. V'ibim mefute ha'machla. She's meichelet. She's meichelet. So what does it sound like from the Pnei Yeshua? That if we'd be talking about a girl that doesn't have the father's bearing over her head, there would be no knas, because she's meichel, she consented. The only time there's a knas is because there's a father in the picture. And whenever there's a father in the picture, he's the Baal Dvar. So it sounds like from the first teretz of the Pnei Yeshua that every knas, at least by Mefateh, really goes to the father. Because mitzad the Isha, she was meichel.
What if the father consents to it also?
Oh, okay, so we're going to have to talk about that more. Then the Pnei Yeshua is another teretz.
What about Meshucharis? She's part of
the father. What?
Meshucharis.
If she's Meshucharis, so then she leaves her father's Meshus. Once she sold as a shivcha and she leaves, so then she also leaves her father's rishos. That's another way she gets out of her father's rishos. But oydish loymar, kiven the ikka rabusei demasdis in the elunaris psula sheesh lam knas. Dr. Pneshu, another terrace. What's the chiddush of our mishnah? All those women that are posel that still get knas. Also, lashmini kim mifarash shas b'salam chlafugi mahani tani derosh lezir isha isha rolebi v'kiven the kred loysil isha ksib boinus. Again, what's the chiddush of the mishnah? All of these women that I can't really marry. Now, when does the issue of marriage come in? By oynit, by mefat, the kiven the kord of loisi elisha ksib oynis, umeshum hachi noket Rashi nami b'milsei oynis, umemela duhu adin mefat the kerenu. Okay, so we'll leave off. I really wanted the first teretz of the Pnei Yeshua. The first teretz of the Pnei Yeshua is that if you have a girl whose father is out of the picture, then it's very likely that there would be no knas, because she doesn't need a knas. She's meichel. She consented to live with this guy. It's only because the father's in the picture. This will lead us to in Blinedin to next year to figure out who really gets the knas. Is the knas really to the father? Or the knas is really to her, but since her father gets any money she gets, the memela he gets the knas as well. Okay.